I used to think a lot of things that I don't think anymore. So in honor of that and to growth and the ability to change our hearts and minds, I want to welcome you to the I Used to Think season of the Jesus Over Everything podcast, where once again, I hope to bring some clarity to some issues that we might be confused about, or maybe just maybe need to revisit or at least give consideration to that we were taught and have maybe put on a shelf or haven't thought about for a very long time or maybe ever. At this season of my life, I'm more sure than ever about Jesus, the Bible, and many of my core convictions. And I'm more able than ever to say, you know, I used to think this and now I don't anymore. And one of those has to do with the issue of anger. I often call myself a self-professed feisty work in progress, but one thing I have always said was that I'm really not an angry person. I'm really not like a violent person in the sense that I don't throw things. I don't get into rages. I don't really even yell. It's just not my personality. And so I used to think that I really didn't have any issues with anger. I also used to think that saying that I was angry at any point about something meant that I was admitting to being some sort of terrible person in some way. And so maybe part of that claim that I didn't have any issues with anger was sort of ensuring my goodness, so to speak. Because after all, is there anything worse than an angry woman? I'm actually kind of posing that as a question to us in a way, because I've noticed that in society, we almost allow women to be anything but angry. We're fine with a crying woman. We're used to a woman who is busy, and so that's acceptable. A woman who serves everyone else all the time is great and noble. In fact, we hold them up in the highest of regards, even when that service is not boundaried or is really people-pleasing at its core and causes all this exhaustion. We're still great with it because, let's be honest, often we benefit. We are even good with a woman with mental health issues much of the time if she struggles with anxiety or even depression. We become much more understanding of that, which is a good thing. But if a woman expresses any anger, that's something that's really frowned upon. It's like the ultimate in unhealth. We really marginalize that kind of woman. We tag her as someone that we don't want to interact with. We're kind of really afraid to be friends with an angry woman. We don't understand an angry woman or that emotion that's coming out of her. We don't really ask questions. We just kind of move away from her. And it's like, women should not be angry. It's just not the nature of women to be angry is kind of how we feel about it. I think women feel really guilty and shameful if and when we do have feelings of anger, and certainly if we ever express them, like it's the worst thing a Christian woman especially can ever do. And I know this to be true for a lot of women because recently I put something up on my social media about women and anger and how we feel if we ever express anger and the way that people react towards us. And that it was just very, very telling how many women expressed that they feel guilty about that, that they feel marginalized, that they feel shamed in it, that if they ever expressed any type of angry feelings, that it was just an awkwardness and an awkward feeling that happened in their relationships. And I think I used to feel that anger in all cases was just something to avoid, something that women shouldn't, press into, something that women shouldn't even ever experience. But I don't think that anymore. In fact, I think it's a harmful way to look at a very human emotion that all of us have at times. It just sort of is a reality. We all get angry. We all either express or suppress our anger, and there's a scale there, but I think that's sort of the two ways that we deal with it. We express it, maybe we're an exploder, or we suppress it, we bury it deep down within us. And at some point, even if we're a suppressor, it will come out. It might come out in sarcasm, it might come out in passive aggressiveness, but it's going to come out in some way. And I'm certainly not a counselor, but I've just lived long enough to observe, as you have as well, I'm sure. and have seen that be true. We could be an exploder. We could be a stonewaller where we sort of like freeze people out. And that is a form of anger. It's the way we express our anger. A lot of times my sense of justice produces this angry emotion. And I've been known to stonewall a person or two, or I can be quite aggressive in the way that I, you know, present something. I like to call it passion, but sometimes it can be aggression. Or sometimes we even self-sabotage. We turn anger inward. And that can also produce a lot of shame feelings, really self-loathing a lot. I think when we get angry at ourselves and we turn that anger inward, there's just lots of ways anger shows up dressed up like something else. I don't know about you, but when I feel overwhelmed by the thought of mealtime, I settle for eating out too much, and that's not good. So one of my goals this year is to really treat my body better, fuel it with healthy, good foods. And part of that is by having sensible meals for dinner. I've gotten a great kickstart on this already by the new Prep Dish meal plans that I've started using. These meal plans have been helping me cook and really enjoy delicious, healthy meals, especially during my busy weeks. So I'm eating better than ever. I'm spending way less on eating out. And the best part is I don't have to think about what I need at the grocery store because they make a list for me. So here's how it works. Subscribers receive an email every week with an organized grocery list and instructions for prepping meals ahead of time, which means that dinner time is super quick and easy every day. And the meal plans are always seasonal. So this time of year includes plenty of hearty stews and crockpot meals, which I personally love, the crockpot. And another thing I love is that they have categories to choose from: gluten-free, paleo, low carb, or super fast. Yes, that one's for me. I love to make things quick. So you'll find what you need here, I promise. And if you think you don't have time to meal prep, I used to think the same thing. But with the Prep Dish Super Fast Meal Plans, I can prepare 5 healthy dinners in just 1 hour. I'm a big believer in batching work, always have been. So this made sense to me. I now batch meal prep like I do work. Trust me, that's 1 hour of meal prep pretty much saving my sanity for the rest of the week. It's 100% worth it. You want to serve healthy homemade meals without the stress? The founder, Allison, is offering our listeners a free 2-week trial to try it out. You really just can't beat that. Check out prepdish.com/Joe for this amazing deal. Again, that's prepdish.com/Joe for your first 2 weeks free. I really think you'll love it like I do. I thought as we were talking about this, it would be important to look at the word because I'll be honest, I don't trust myself to just make up my own rules about anger or sort of pontificate about it. Again, I'm not a counselor. And even just to, you know, look into other books or talk about it from someone else's vantage point just won't do what the Word of God does to teach us about anger and what we can glean there. I think it's so important. So what do we know based on the Word about anger? Super important. First of all, we know that there is a natural component to it because of how the Bible addresses it. There's the reality that comes up as a human emotion in the beginning, when we are angry. It's sort of that reality of that emotion rather than a choice, but then something that over time can become the choice in that of a sinful habit in our anger. The Word says to put off anger in Colossians 3:8. He lists it with other things like filthy talk and lying, and it's in the context of habitual deeds. By put off in this verse, he's saying, get rid of it. You want to get rid of it. So you're angry. That's an emotion that comes up. You need to get rid of it. So in other words, we might start off angry because of something that has happened, but it does not and it should not become a part of our lifestyle or become a habit. And this idea is solidified when it talks about in Ephesians 4:26, in your anger, do not sin. That's a verse that a lot of us have heard, but maybe don't realize and understand the full context of it. But what this verse suggests is that you might be angry, but that does not mean that you must stay in that state and have it become sinful or that you must sin in that state. So I'm going to loop back to that in just a minute. So hang on and we'll talk about that a minute more. The second thing we know from the Word about anger is that our example of anger and the emotion of anger is the Lord. When he became flesh and dwelt among us and lived, we know 100% God, 100% man, and so experienced the full range of emotions when he was here on earth, we learn from how he responded when he experienced the emotion of anger himself. And so a lot of people use him to say, well, Jesus got angry, which is true, but there are some things that we learn from him in that. First, we know that his anger was perfect, which we cannot achieve in our state. Even though he was fully man, he was still fully God. And so we know that his anger was still perfect, and we can't achieve that. Christ's anger was based in his perfect righteousness. Our anger is tainted by our imperfect humanness. Let me say that again. Christ's anger was based in his perfect righteousness. Our anger is tainted by our imperfect humanness. And so there's a big difference there. But what we can do is we can learn from the example of him. It says in multiple places in scripture that the Lord is slow to anger, abounding in mercy and love. And this is really, really key, this verse, because we are often quick to anger. If you think about the times that you've gotten angry, think about how it was usually in a flash or in a moment, or it was a reaction or even a response it might have been, but it was because of something that happened. It triggered you. You got angry, right? It usually happens very quickly. He is always slow. His bend, if you will, the way the Lord is bent, is towards mercy. It is towards goodness. It is towards kindness. It is towards love. It is not towards anger. He is slow to anger. And so what might happen if we were slow to anger like him? We're learning from his example, right? What if we were bent towards mercy and love and slow to anger? We would likely be angry much less often and probably have to mop up after whatever happened in our anger much less often, which would be really nice. It also tells us point blank in scripture that this is how we are to be. It says this: good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Think also about how many times we are offended and our offense makes us angry. Proverbs 19:11 is that verse. I don't know about you, but I want to have good sense. And good sense, it says, is what makes us slow to anger. Good sense is Holy Spirit sense. That's really what it is. And a lot of us need a lot more of this so that we can be slow to anger. The other thing about anger in Jesus was that the anger was directed towards something specific. The most famous incident that we tend to cite for the anger of the Lord is, of course, the flipping of tables in Matthew 21, right? This anger was righteous, as we know, because it involved impurity, abuse, and corruption, things that God will not tolerate. They are in direct contradiction to the kingdom of God, to the heart of God, the heart he has towards the people that he loves. And so from these things, we can conclude that anger that would not be sinful, because remember, the verse says, in your anger, do not sin. So it suggests that not all anger is sinful. It also, I think, suggests not making it a habit, but that human emotion that comes up, it's getting rid of it, not keeping it and having it fester. Anger that would not be sinful, according to the word, would be, number one, anger that is not prolonged. Says clearly in scripture that in Ephesians 4 passage, do not let the sun set on your anger, which means you might get angry, but harboring, letting it fester and continue is where you sin. That's where you go wrong, is that prolonged anger. This is where I think a lot of people get that marital rule for themselves, or sometimes, you know, they'll give advice to people getting married and they'll say, never go to bed angry. And it just seems like such a cute piece of advice, but I think it comes from the verse, which is probably a great rule, but think about it, not letting the sun set on your anger. I admit right now, I'm going to out myself here. I have watched one too many Datelines and too many 48 hours mysteries on TV in my life. But do you know how many people have taken someone's life because they did not follow this biblical principle? Literally, I mean, anger festers, boils over, and then it results in sin and harm to someone else. Truly, this is where we plot and plan someone else's demise. And it might not be something obviously that heinous as murder. I mean, it has been even back in the Bible times. We know that. But even just, you know, in the way that we have breaches with our brothers and sisters in Christ and families and all these kinds of things, it's the anger that we've let the sun set on our anger and harboring is where we go very wrong. And then we can conclude that the main purpose in anger, according to the Bible, the main purpose in anger as an emotion is to be an advocate for righteousness. That's it. The kingdom of God, as we follow the example of Jesus, for those who are abused, for the perversion of the gospel, angry over what would anger Christ, kingdom matters. And yet what's interesting is that we typically get angry over offenses toward us. I mean, that's really what it is most of the time. Offenses toward us, entitlements that we feel we are owed or justified in, very, very self-centered. Circling back to that Ephesians 4 passage again, the first part is about unity in the church and the conduct of the believer. And it's so interesting that later it talks about anger, almost like the Lord knew that we would often be angry at each other. And yet his call would always be to reconciliation with each other. There's just no coincidence that anger and sin are connected. So I guess what I want to say to us is that I used to believe and I used to think that women especially should never get angry. Like, we just shouldn't let that emotion come up. And that's just not fair, because that emotion is going to rise up sometimes within us. We are human. We wear flesh. We're not perfect. We are going to experience anger. I used to think that admitting I was angry was admitting I was just a terrible person and I had major issues. And I don't think that anymore. I don't think we are terrible people. I don't think women are terrible if we have anger that rises up. I think it is a very normal human emotion. And I think women would do ourselves a great service to understand the anger, to understand where it comes from, to go and speak with a wise counselor to help us sort through where that anger is coming from and why we've maybe suppressed it and what that's really done to our insides, and really address those things so that we don't walk around with these anger issues that just keep bubbling up. And I think that's so very important. It is a human emotion, like all human emotions. I think Satan triggers us and tempts us to make anger a go-to often, then to feel very justified in it. I don't think we even think about it so many times. You know, we go through our day and something happens to us. Someone cuts us off in traffic. We get angry. Maybe we, you know, get over it quickly, or maybe it just festers and we roll with it. I always love the rhythm of diving into new faith-filled books and the possibilities for growth to my spiritual life that brings. So I'm excited to tell you about a new resource available from Crossway that I think will help with that, called The Story of Jesus, A Guided Journey Through the Gospel of John. Something that I find even more exciting about this is that this resource shares the gospel message in an inviting book-like format that's accessible for both non-believers and for new Christians. Each section of scripture opens with a gospel-rich devotion that summarizes the passage and then helps readers take to heart its truth. There are also short reflection questions that invite readers to engage further with the text, which I also love. And because the story of Jesus uses clear, non-technical language to walk someone through the gospel, it can be used to help readers understand who Jesus is. So it's a helpful tool for non-churched, non-believing friends, as well as seasoned believers. So pick up a copy of The Story of Jesus wherever books are sold, or visit crossway.org/ plus. That's crossway.org/PLUS to find out how you can get 30% off with a Crossway Plus account. Let's grow in 2025 together. Satan wants us to stay stuck in anger, and that is why forgiveness is such a powerful tool. Confession, repentance, saying we're sorry, often to get into that habit and that practice, forgiveness is such the antidote of our anger. And also gratitude. Gratitude, I think, it's hard to be angry and grateful at the same time. And so I think practicing those things really helps either ward off a lot of anger or also help it be very short-lived. It's not that we're trying to go through life and say, I'm never going to be angry, because I think that's just not the case. I think that's actually kind of a silly way to approach it. But to say, I want to live my life grateful, and I want to live my life in the mode of forgiveness, so that when my angry feelings do come up, they just don't have a space to breathe. They just don't have a space to live. I think we shouldn't be ashamed or embarrassed that we're angry, but also hold ourselves to a higher standard with it and not think, well, it's okay. Just, you know, I'm just going to be angry and it's fine. We are going to be angry. But I think living there is what is not fine, and really asking ourselves, am I angry for the right things? Am I truly righteously angry? Or is this a lot about me? Am I just sprinkling Jesus into it to justify my anger in the name of Jesus? And I think we do that. I really think that the Lord gets blamed for a lot of things that are really about us at the core. We get mad at things and we say, well, you know, I was righteously angry about that. And I think a lot of times, no, we were just angry and we just sprinkled a little Jesus in it to try to justify it. But the reality is, how many times are we truly angry over the things that anger the Lord? I think that's a real test and a real heart check as to how much we are right fighting, how much we are self-absorbed, is checking the things that we are angry over, how often those things are truly righteous, and how much they are fighting for ourselves. I think it's also really important to be careful not to try to pull other people into our angry emotions, which sometimes we, in our misery or in our anger, want company over that. There's a part of the verse, in your anger, do not sin, Colossians 3:21, talks about fathers not provoking their children to wrath so as not to discourage them. That verse could apply, I think, to any of us. When we influence others to get on our bandwagon of anger, we really serve ourselves. And that just does a real disservice to the people that we drag into it, because it talks in that verse about discouragement. As we bring other people into the things that have angered us, that emotion, and we pull them in, we never know what it's going to do to their spirit. And the Lord's going to hold us to account for those kinds of things. So I think we have to be really careful there as well. So listen, don't beat yourself up for your angry feelings. Don't stuff and suppress them because you think that's the right thing for you to do. Process them with a counselor to get down to it. And above all, always take them to the Lord, because anger isn't automatically sin. And God always wants to love and help us through it. It's really about not letting those angry feelings fester. Hope this helps you today. Thanks for listening to Jesus Over Everything with Lisa Whittle. Interested in going deeper on the topics we discuss on the show? Want to go behind the scenes of this ministry and stay up to date on the latest happenings? Want to read unfiltered writing from me on a regular basis? Head over to my Substack at letsbeclear.substack.com to join the private community, where I share weekly insights, encouragements, and unfiltered thoughts on how to live the Jesus First lifestyle.